2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. And we'll be going over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 13 or so, and get going along that way. So let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. And if you have problems hearing or anything, please let me know so I can correct it as soon as possible. Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for another day of grace. We thank you for the opportunity to come to your word and have it speak to our hearts. We pray as we open up your word tonight that it be that which would encourage us, that it be that which would educate us, that it be that which would empower us, that it be that which would edify us and cause us to be the kind of people that you've already made us to be in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this now in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake, amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, there's a verse written there, and I know up on the screen up there at the top of the banner says mortification of the flesh. I'm not real sure how close to the mark we'll reach tonight, but I'm really concerned about the church, the body of Christ, and its apparent unbelief of plain verses on the page. And so tonight, as we open up the scriptures, we want to look in some detail, and I'll try not to be over anybody's head. I've already been over some people's heads today and talked with them, and I don't want to do that. But I want you to understand your position in Christ. I want you to understand who you are in Christ and how God has taken the believer and made a new creation. We don't live up to all that we have in Christ, and we want to try to correct some of our thinking along those lines. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, now ladies, don't get all upset. Now, when he says any man, he's talking about man or woman. He's talking about any man in Christ. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, notice what it says in that verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, the first issue there is being in Christ. And if you're saved, you're in Christ. The normal, natural position for you in your Christian walk is to be in Christ. And the reason I say it that way is because believers have a tendency to think that they're somebody other than who they are. And what I mean by that is that they think that there's this warfare that's going on that pulls them into the flesh, and that's far from the truth. Now, it is that we have a conflict with the flesh, but our understanding of our position in Christ should override that from a doctrinal perspective. When we apply the doctrines, when we understand the verses. Now, that verse says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Doesn't say he will be a new creature. Doesn't say he will hope to be a new creature. Doesn't say that he thinks he's a new creature. The verse says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And then he puts a colon there and starts a new thought, and he says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, that verse is either true or it's not true. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, what we need to do is be able to believe that passage, to believe that verse. Now, to some of you who may not be initiated to the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, let me bring you up to speed for just a moment, and just by telling you that Paul is our apostle for today. Paul is the man to whom we go in the scriptures to find out our doctrine, our duty, and our destiny. It's to him. The Lord Jesus Christ gave to him, the Apostle Paul, the information for you and I today about how to live our lives. All the Bible is for us, but it's not all written to us. And it's within the Pauline epistles alone that you're going to find the doctrine, the duty, and the destiny of the church, the body of Christ. And having said that, we turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 1, where it says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. You see, we're Gentiles, and we're living in a particular program called the dispensation of grace. He says that in this passage. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And the problem is with the church body of Christ is not many people have been initiated to that mystery program, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. So that's just a little bit of a heads up about where we're coming from tonight, about our position in Christ. We're not talking about the law of Moses. We're not talking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We're talking about the doctrines delivered to the Apostle Paul. Now, if you will, hold your hand there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse number 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 12, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And in verse number 13 he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, notice now, which effectually worketh in you also that believe. What? Yeah, oh yeah, on the screen that should be 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm sorry, Daryl pointed that out on the screen for me. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, and the Thessalonians did that. The Thessalonians received the word of God. Notice now, which ye heard of us. So this is a particular portion of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that had been given to the Apostle Paul to give to the Gentiles in the dispensation of grace. Because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, notice now, which effectually worketh also in what? You that believe. You see, folks, for the Word of God to activate in your life, you're going to have to believe the verses. For the Word of God to have an effect in your life, you're going to have to believe the verses. Your Christian life operates in exactly the same way that you got saved. You were saved by grace through faith. And your Christian life operates exactly the same way. Your Christian life works by grace through faith. In your salvation, God provided for you everything that you're ever going to need for salvation. He provided the payment. He provided the sacrifice. He provided the redemption. He provided the new bodies. Everything that you need in salvation and redemption, He provided for you. All you had to do was believe it. Your Christian walk operates exactly the same way. Everything you need for your walk. I talked to some people today, and one person just kept saying over and over, well, I've got to try harder. I've got to try this. I've got to try that. That's not how your Christian life operates. Your Christian life operates on the basis of you believing God's Word and allowing that Word to work in your life. Now come back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, where it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, what are some of those old things that passed away? What are some of those? Well, I'm glad you asked. Okay, come with me to the book of Ephesians, and let's look at some of them. Ephesians chapter number 2. What are some of the, you know, I couldn't answer the question tonight about which James and like that. I've done a study on that, and I've got that in my notes someplace. But you know what? That's not going to impact my walk. I want to know what's going to impact my walk. I want to know what's going to impact my behavior. I want to know what's going to make a difference in the edification process in the life of the believer. And that's the thing that we can go and find out here tonight. What are some of those things that old things are passed away? Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, notice now, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's one of those things that has passed away. You were dead and in trespasses and in sins. Verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Your walk before you trusted Christ as your Savior was according to the course of this world. Satan has a course plotted for every lost person, and you are following that course. Notice it says, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse number 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Those are some of those things that are passed away. We don't have to live in that position anymore. We don't have to walk according to the course of this world. We don't have to walk according to the spirit of disobedience. We don't have to walk in the lust of our flesh. We don't have to walk in the desires of the flesh and of our mind. We are not the children of wrath. Those things are passed away, Paul said, and behold, all things are become new. But you know what? Unless you believe those verses, unless you believe the truth of that verse and begin to let it work in your life, you're going to continue to be confused about who you are in Christ, what power and authority you have in Christ by letting Christ live his life through you. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20 comes to mind again. And it's a verse that comes to mind over and over and over. And listen, don't be guilty of like those who take Galatians 2:20 and quote the thing so fast that it doesn't make any sense. You know, I listen to people. I say, well, everybody knows Galatians 2:20. You know, it's hard to find somebody who doesn't know Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. What does that verse say? That verse says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That's part of being that new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, what some of those other things that are passed away? Come on, women, you're still in the book of Ephesians. Come to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17. Paul writes and says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness." But look at verse number 20. "But ye have not so learned Christ." Folks, one of the most important things that you're ever going to learn in your Christian life is doctrine. We operate on the basis of doctrine. We know some things. And because we know some things, we are able to choose and make right choices and decisions in our life. Now, I want you to come with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 8 and chapter number 7. 7 and 8. We're going to do a little bit of a study through that passage here as we begin to think about this. About the Lord Jesus Christ, we're just going to go through this passage and make some application to how we are to allow Christ to live his life through us. Folks, if you ever get very far away from the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're just not going to make it. You're just not going to make it. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now, that verse says, "There is therefore now no condemnation." Well, why did he say that? Well, let's back up into Romans chapter number 7 and look at verse number 15. Romans chapter 7, verse number 15. In Romans chapter 7, verse number 15, we're going to see a conflict in Paul. And I want to tell you again that the natural state of the believer is to be in the Spirit. We tend to think, we tend to operate in the flesh. We tend to think that's the normal operating procedure, that's where we habitate, and we have to do something to be spiritual, that we have to work at being spiritual, but that is not what the Scriptures teach us. In Romans chapter 7, verse number 11, 7 chapter number 15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would do, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." Seems like Paul's a little bit confused there. Sounds like some parents I know. Says, "For that which I do, I allow not." You know, I tell my children to do one thing, and then I go and do it. You know, that's called being a hypocrite in some circles. He said, "For that which I allow not, that I do, but what I hate." I didn't read that right, did I? Verse number 15. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not." The things I ought to do, I don't do. "But what I hate, that I do." Verse 16. "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it," notice now, "but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." See, folks, the problem is in the flesh. And earlier this afternoon, we were looking in Romans chapter 6 in another study, and over there, Paul says over and over again, "We know some things, we know some things, we know some things," and then he makes application. Well, here in Romans chapter 7, verse number 19, he says, For the good that I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but what? But sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. You see, hold your hand here. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to be coming right back to Romans 7, but I want to show you a principle over here about sin. Romans chapter 15. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse number 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Notice verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. You see, every time you try to do what is right in your flesh, you're going to find that when you apply the law, that sin is going to get stronger. That's why you can take a plate of chocolate chip cookies, a plate of hot chocolate chip cookies, and set them in the middle of a table with a bunch of kids and tell them, "Don't eat those cookies," and you leave the room and you come back and the cookies are gone. Because you've just given them something that they can't do. You've given them a law that they can't complete. You've made sin strong in them by giving them a law that they can't deal with. Come back to Romans chapter number 7. Verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. So there is this conflict going on. And you see, you're going to see a progression from Romans chapter number 7 to Romans chapter number 8, where Paul is freed from this warfare because he understands some things about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for him. Verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of the sin which is in my members. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am. And remember, we're trying to get to Romans 8:1 here. That's the reason we backed up. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This warfare, this mental warfare, this physical warfare that's going on in my body. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're in Christ, and you're walking after the Spirit, there is no condemnation. Verse number 2. For the law of the... Notice now. Don't do any thinking right now, okay? Just stop thinking and listen. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, did what? Condemned sin in the flesh. Folks, you know what the Lord Jesus Christ did? The Lord Jesus Christ lived a perfect, sinless life. Now, he didn't do that by invoking his godly powers to do that. He could have, but that's not how he did it. He had victory over sin just the same exact way that you and I do today, and that's by trusting in God's Word. A lot of people think that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was God in the flesh. But he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He took up on the form of a servant. He became a man so that he could totally identify with us. Now, hold your hand here in Romans and come with me to the book of Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. And let's learn a little bit about the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, you see that if the Lord Jesus Christ had invoked his power and his deity in order to have victory over sin, that will leave you and me with no position to run to, because we don't have that. The only way that you and I are going to have victory over sin in our life is by understanding who we are in Christ and allowing him to live his life through us. In Hebrews chapter number 5, verse number 5, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now notice verse number 7. Verse 5, he says he didn't glorify himself. He could have. He didn't do that. Verse number 7. Who, talking about in the Lord Jesus Christ now, who in the days of his flesh. When was that? That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when he walked upon this planet Earth. He walked upon this planet, and it says, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from what? Death, and was heard in that he feared. It is the humanity of Christ that caused him to be able to identify completely and totally with us, and it was his obedience to God the Father and God the Father's word that allowed him to have victory over sin, to not be tempted to go and do what Adam did. That's the reason why he's called the second Adam. He performed what Adam would not do. Look at verse number 7 again. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Folks, God doesn't fear. We're talking about the humanity of Christ here. What was he afraid of? Well, if you were just about to have the sins of the world poured out on you, I think you'd be afraid too, wouldn't you? If you knew the problems and the situations, the payment and the penalty that you were going to have to pay on the behalf of somebody else, and here you are, you're pure, you're sinless, and you're holy, and you've never experienced sin, and yet you're going to have to pay for it, I think that's something that would cause you a little bit of fear. Verse number 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. You begin to get a little bit of an idea about the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you come back over to Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 3, it says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh." Whose flesh? Adam's flesh, Abraham's flesh, Israel's flesh, the Gentiles' flesh. There's only been one man, M-A-N, who ever lived on this planet that had complete and total victory over sin, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 5:9, I'm going to choose you to put up there for us, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He became The life of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power through which we have that victory over sin in our life, that the ability to mortify the flesh. Come back to Romans chapter number 8. Let's work on down through the passage, because there's some things here that we need to see and understand before it gets too much later here or something like that. Romans chapter 8, verse number 3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now don't anybody in here go and tell somebody else that I'm telling you that the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't God. He is. But he divested himself of his deity in this situation so that he could identify completely and totally with our sins and therefore become the perfect vessel for the redemption of mankind. Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do, in that he was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin did what? He condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, notice now, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I mean, if you're sowing to the flesh, if you're living over that, that's what you're going to get. But verse number 6, for to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Notice now, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh. Notice now, this is very important. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so believe that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, folks, that verse just told you. That verse just told you that if you're saved, you are in the Spirit. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Here's the qualifier. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. What's the point? The point is this. The natural position of the believer is to be in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And God, when He saved you, made you so much that way that we have to plan, we have to work, we have to scheme to be in the flesh. It's not the other way around. We go around thinking, well, we're in the flesh and we've got to work to be in the Spirit. We think that there's something that we can do that's going to make us more holy, more spiritual, and there's not. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse number 8, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Does He? If the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, you are in the Spirit. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, notice, he is none of his. That is, if the Spirit of God is not dwelling in you, you're lost. You're not saved. Now, some of you may know why you have so much problem trying to live the Christian life. And we'll just move on from there and keep going. Verse number 8, verse number 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, go ahead and post up verse number 11 there because we're going to need it. But if the Spirit of Him... Now, we're talking about mortification of the flesh. And here's how it works. Here's the mechanic. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, does He? If you're saved, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He, not you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth, present tense, in you. This is not talking about something out in the future, folks. This is talking about today. Saturday, what's the day? Somebody tell me. Saturday, June 21st, 2003. That's when he's talking about. See, it's not what you do, it's what you know. It's what you understand. And you begin to let the mechanics of positional truth work in your life. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, does He? If He does, then He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. That word quicken means to make it alive. Your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now the question is, are you saved? And if you are you allowing Him to do that in your life? That's the question. And we go back again to Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. And we have this total identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. And all too often we want to take and say, yeah, man, I'm saved, and now I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to be something. And listen, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you know. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what your position and station in life is. The only thing that counts in your life as a believer is your identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sooner we begin to understand that, the sooner we'll begin to be all that He has made us in Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Are you? I'm crucified with Christ. I'm totally identified with Him. Romans chapter 6 says that we're baptized into His death. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I. It's not me that's doing it. It's not me that's taking my character and changing it into what's right. But it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what, folks? We need to believe the verses. We need to allow the Word of God to effectually work in us, and the way that we do that is by believing the words on the page. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Does He? If He does, what is it that He's doing? Is He the one who causes that bad relationship between you and your wife, between you and your kids, between you and your husband, between you and your parents? Is that Christ living in you? And the life which I now live in the flesh. Now you take that and you go back to Romans 8:11, and it says, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. He's going to take your flesh here on this planet right now, and He's going to make it alive by the Spirit that dwells in you. It's as if the Holy Spirit was taking and animating your flesh to cause it to be what it needs to be so that you can accomplish Christ living in you and in me. Again, the verse says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, how do I live it? I live it by the faith of the Son of God. You see, when Christ was here on this planet, during the days of His flesh, as Hebrews says, He had a relationship and a communion going on between Him and God the Father that you and I can enjoy today, that He availed Himself of, and that you and I probably don't. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. What do I learn from the faith of the Son of God? You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ came to His Father and He says, if there's any way for this cup to pass from me, let it pass. I am not real sure I want to do this. But you know what? He says, I always do the will of my Father. The faith of the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to be obedient to the Word of God. And when you do that, when you allow that Word to work in you, see, that's the only choice that we really have to make. The only choice that we really have to make. See, Paul battled between his flesh and his mind there in Romans chapter number 7. But when you get to Romans chapter number 8, he understands his position in Christ. He understands who he is, and that all he needs to do is allow Christ to do what he already wants to do. the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And see, that loved me and gave himself for me is sort of like the last part of the puzzle. It's that if you go back to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, you'll see it in that passage too. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 14. Verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The motivation for that is found up in verse number 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. You see, it's that love of Christ living in us that motivates us to be what we ought to be in Christ. And what is it that we ought to be in Christ? What we ought to be in Christ is obedient to the Word. And that's, folks, that's just as simple as it gets. That's just as simple as it gets. We need to believe the Word of God. Yeah, I just said we got to drive by there. We need to believe the words on the page. Come in with one more passage, Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. And verse number... we'll pick up in verse number 6. Romans 6, 6. Knowing this, starts with knowledge. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that, purpose statement, the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11, here comes the application of all that. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a reckoning. It's a believing what God has said and saying, yep, I believe that. You know what? We don't really believe that we're dead to sin. We don't really believe that Christ will live his life in us. We don't think he can do a good enough job. We think he needs a little bit of help. Now, we would never verbalize that. I'll verbalize it for you, because I see it every day of the week, where believers, where people say they believe the Word, but then they don't allow the Word to work in their life. Verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. There's the first two words. Let not. There's a choice. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Why? Because Romans chapter 8 says that the Holy Spirit is going to take and quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse number 13, neither yield. So verse 11, we reckon it. Verse 12, we let not. Verse 13, we yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And the verse says, neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves as unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as the instruments of righteousness. See, we sometimes we just plain old don't believe that we're alive with him. At least that's the way that we approach life. Mortification of the flesh. The only way that takes place in the life of the believer is for us to understand who we are in Christ, and allow the life of the Son of God to work in our hearts and our lives. Now we're gonna close there, and we're gonna be talking about some of these things more later on our Saturday night studies as we go through this stuff. But it's important for us to understand the positional truth of who we are in Christ. Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for another day of grace. We thank you for your provision of grace in our life. We pray for the edification, for the empowerment, for the education of the believer, that we might be, all that you have already made us to be in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, we'll...